originally, Dad started in Arkansas right after World War II. Is when it all got started. He and his brother-in-law were trying to figure out what they were going to do after the war was over with, and they ended up deciding to get in the radio business. And Dad was there with Russ Horn for several years, and finally decided, you know, that he needed to branch out. He wanted to go do some other things, and Russ was fairly content with what they were doing there in Arkansas. So he started traveling around in the Midwest looking for some towns that didn't have, you know, a radio station and you know, had all the right things that he was looking for, and ended up and settled in Moberly's, where how he ended up getting Moberly. There's a long story, Steve, that was involved about, you know, what really got him into the success business that we used to refer to as 40-40. It took him about 40 minutes to tell it at the time, but basically was how he learned that down there in those hot, dry days of summer in Arkansas, a lot of people were advertising with him, but they were all doing institutional advertising. And nobody was, everybody pretty well stopped their radio advertising when it got hot, and nobody was doing anything. But they were still advertising in the paper, and he couldn't figure out why. Well,
maybe you should tell them, when you say institutional advertising, for somebody who might not be familiar with that term, what that would mean.
Well, what they were doing is they were talking about how nice the store they had and how great the people were and all those kind of things, and not talking about specific merchandise. And so he got into that with where he learned that, you know, he needed to get into price and item advertising, and actually ended up with a neighborhood grocery store who had gotten mad at the newspaper because his ad wasn't ready in time for the newspaper guy to pick it up. And the guy said, well, you know, you're just not going to have an ad this week. And what are you going to do about it? And the guy just says, well, I'll advertise on the radio. And the newspaper guy just kind of laughed at him. And so the guy called the radio station and said, here, I want to do some advertising. And actually, this little neighborhood grocery store in the long run ended up closing down the Kroger store there in Arkansas in Russellville because of his price and item advertising. And that's kind of where it took off and got us going in the direction that we did and got us started through the years and got us to where we are today.
So that focus on price and item advertising as opposed to sort of generic institutional advertising was one of the core elements of your father's concept?
Yeah, I would say it was probably the core, and then switching over to 30-second ads back in the 60s because everybody was still running 60-second commercials back in those days, and when he switched over to the 30-second ads, made a heck of a difference because you could run twice as many ads in a period of time rather than running, you know, 10 60-second ads. You could run 20 30-second ads, which created more of an impact too.
So, did other broadcasters just sort of fail to see the importance or significance of this shift in focus on advertising?
Well, I don't know. I guess so, because what actually then happened to him was that we ended up, you know, doing, I don't know, he did his speech at the NAB, and I can't remember what that was. Oh, he's doing, I don't know, 325,000 or whatever in a town of 13,000, and ended up, you know, going to the National Association of Broadcasters. I think their meeting was in Chicago that year, and gave his speech about this, and where he started talking about how he was being a high-gross operation at the time. And that kind of kicked him off and got him going with broadcasters across the country, because I still run into some old-time broadcasters occasionally that talk to me about how they remember when he gave that speech and how it kind of really turned them around too and expanded their mind more for increasing their business.
Now, he also saw some opportunities on the programming side that were sort of have over the years become identified as sort of the Shepherd programming philosophy. Can you talk a little about that?
Well, our programming philosophy was that we looked at things from a local basis. I mean, back in the early days, it was just the national networks, and the newspapers always provided all the local news. And, you know, our competition wasn't the other radio stations. It was always the newspapers. And So to compete against those newspapers, we had to go more into the local news angle and have people involved in the radio stations. We had to make them want to listen to us. And so a lot of that was having lots of local news and having the information source, and if there was something going on, people realized that if they really wanted to know what was going on, they had to listen to our radio stations to find out what was happening and not have to wait, you know, a day or so for a newspaper, or in a lot of cases at that time, there's a lot of weekly newspapers, you might even have to wait for a week. I remember when we first put the radio station on up in Bethany, that the way there was no radio, no local radio at the time, and the way people found out about the obituaries was that the funeral home would print up some little notices, and they'd put them in the banks and the grocery stores and a few other businesses around town to let people know who had died. And then once we got the radio station on the air, we started running the obituaries. And the printers weren't very happy because we took all that printing business away from them, because now they could get their obituaries on a daily basis and know who died and those kind of things. And so those are the kinds of things that, you know, made people want to listen to us.
One of the other programming concepts that I certainly associate with your father and the Shepherd programming was this notion of regional radio. Was that something that was there at the beginning, or did he sort of come to that later on?
No, I think that kind of came a little later on, because I think as we realized to grow and to expand and have the expansion that we were going to have and to increase the billing, we were going to have to go out further and further into other towns that we hadn't served in the past. And that's kind of how we got into the regional aspect of it, that we found that we were just going to have to expand out just to increase the business. One other thing that we did learn out of it, though, is we tried it a couple of different ways. And a lot of times to go in and break in a new town and try to make that kind of like what we would call our town, we tried it by going in there and doing all the news first and then trying to sell the advertising. Actually, and that didn't necessarily get us the listeners. What we really found out first was if we went in and we sold the advertising in that community first, before we started doing the local news, it actually started working better. And a lot of those towns became our towns then after we did the advertising first.
Now, everybody that competed with you guys or even sort of were in the same space as broadcasters, I mean, there were a lot of folks who would look at the billing and go, yeah, I'd like to have some of that. And yet at the same time were uncomfortable with some of the programming and sales strategies that you guys quite openly shared with everybody. I mean, did you run into that sort of schizophrenia, for lack of a better word?
I think we all do. I mean, a lot of people always look at it, well, yeah, it'll work in Moberly or it'll work in any of our other markets that we have now. You know, it works there, but it won't work in our market. And I think a lot of people just weren't committed enough to do what needed to be done. And I think a lot of them looked at it, well, they wanted it to come easy, and then they figured, well, we must be doing it. This has got to be easy to do. Well, it's not easy, actually. It's very, very difficult to do what we do, and it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of determination. We've seen the same thing happen even with our telemarketing, which has started back several years ago. There have been a lot of other radio stations that have looked at trying to do telemarketing, but they've just never had the commitment that we had with it to make it work. And I think that's been the problem with a lot of radio stations. Yeah, we share almost all our information that we have, but a lot of people aren't willing to make that commitment.
You have, maybe I should ask you, I should have asked this earlier, how many stations are in the, well, I started to say the Shepherd Group, but you have recently sold your stations. But
yeah,
at the time you sold them,
We had 16 radio stations in the Shepherd Group.
Okay. And I want to come back to the sort of the sale thing in a couple of minutes, but you have been broadcasting and your family has been broadcasting a long time. What are some of the most significant changes that you have witnessed from those early days till now?
Oh, I don't know. I see a lot of things, Steve. I think, you know, automation is probably one of the big things that you see in the technology that's available to us now, and the computers that are available to us and allow us to do a lot of things that, you know, we never could do in the past. And probably the computers helped us more than anything else. It helped us from a billing standpoint when they came out with computerized billing for us to handle the traffic and all that, especially when we were doing the business we were doing and running, the amount of ads that we were running, it just almost got physically impossible for a human to do it, and it became where we had to be computerized. Then it came along that, from our programming standpoint, where we computerized. And that actually opened up a whole new era for us, because what it allowed us to do was a lot more news, and it allowed us to keep our news fresh, because we could go in and make some edits without having to go sit down in a manual typewriter and crank out, you know, a new news story and retype the whole thing again. We could make editing a whole lot easier. I think that helped. And then the computerization of our telemarketing probably helped more than anything else. And the computerization in the programming department allowed us then now, for a lot of news stories that we do, we can send back and forth to our own stations. And so we were able to help each other. Cameron and Bethany are probably a very good example of that. Now Waynesville and Lebanon to that extent too, where we had more of a news staff at one station before, when we bought, you know, into Cameron, we had all the Bethany people there that could provide a lot of news that could go to Cameron, and then some of the news that the Cameron people generated could go back to Bethany. So it gave us a lot more news coverage, and the same thing happened with Lebanon and Waynesville too.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier, the emphasis on branching out with your regional concept, the focus on local news in all of those regional markets. I mean, you guys usually had pretty big staffs, and you had a rather unique sort of programmer philosophy in terms of how that staff worked. Well, with all that automation you've just been talking about, we've seen a lot of broadcasters cut way, way back. Has that happened in any of your operations as well?
No, we haven't been able to cut back for a couple of reasons. One, because we do so much sports, too. So we've got to have a lot of people with all the sports broadcasts that we do. I've got to have a lot of play-by-play guys that are able to handle that. But our operation has always been working on the philosophy of a high-growth, high-overhead operation, but we think we've got to have our people to help keep our gross up. And I think if we ever cut back on the number of people, even though we have the automation and we have the capabilities, I just think that it would probably hurt us in the long run if we cut back.
Do you foresee a time in which some of the other broadcasters who use that technology as a way to reduce staff and reduce expenses being forced back into an operational mode that takes more people?
You know, I don't know, Steve. I don't know where it's going to go. I've thought a lot about that. I don't know what is going to happen. I see some problems for radio in down the road in the long run. But for the local guy, I think they're going to survive for a while. But I think that we're going to have some difficulties out here. I don't think you can find the qualified people as easily now as we used to be able to find it. And all the technologies have changed, and the kids are growing up with an entirely different perspective on life than what we did when we grew up. And you know, they're used to having iPods, and they've got their cellular phones, and they've got all those things. And radio is not that important an issue to them anymore.
Well, now, does that... Maybe that segues nicely into the question about what sort of led to your decision to sell your radio properties. Some of those things factor in?
I think some of it did. I think there's several things, but, you know, to me, it got it to be where it really just wasn't fun anymore.
Really?
And I think that kind of...
Making all that money wasn't fun?
Well, I mean, yeah, I love making money, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's just the day-to-day, it's just not fun. I've been doing this for a long time now, you know, and I've been in and out of these radio stations, been involved with them, you know, for 40 years off and on, even as a small kid. And I've been here, and I've done it long enough. And the way I see some things going, I think cellular phones are going to be a big issue that we're going to have to deal with. But I also see a lot of these small towns where we've always used them and had them for revenue sources and our revenue streams. These small towns are drying up. There's not a lot of the mom-and-pop businesses there anymore, and the bigger cities that we serve are getting more of the chains in there where their advertising is controlled out of somewhere else, and the locals don't have any say over it. And I think, you know, the pie's getting smaller is one of the issues. I also think digital radio is not necessarily a good thing for small market.
How so?
Well, I think it's going to affect coverage. You know, we saw the same thing happen with cellular telephones when we switched from analog to digital. the coverage went down with digital initially when it first started. And the only reason we have coverage now is because they have more towers out there. But you could actually carry an analog signal further than you could a digital signal. And I think for us to survive, we've got to work out further and further away. And with digital, you know, either your signal's there or it's not there. With analog, you got a little fade in and out, but it's still kind of there, and you can hear it, and you can live with that. But with digital, you know, it's either going to be there or it's not going to be there, and your coverage is going to be down. And some of the towns that maybe we serve now for sports and some other things that we do actually may not be able to hear us when all that comes around.
You mentioned just briefly the Internet. It's been with us now, what, 11, 12 years, maybe 10 years from a real practical standpoint. What impact do you see that having now and going forward on local radio broadcasting?
Well, I think the Internet's going to have a lot of impact. I mean, I see a lot of radio stations that put all their news and everything on the Internet. Well, you know, I need people to listen to my radio station so they hear the commercials. And if we're not running those commercials, you know, we've got some printed material on the Internet, and people can call up and get that newscast or get that news anytime they want it and not necessarily hear the commercials, it's going to affect us. I mean, people buy our advertising because we produce results for them. And if we don't have anybody listening to commercials and we don't produce any results, then we don't have any money coming in. But the Internet's going to be out there. I mean, all the information you need is going to come. And it's not necessarily the guy walking around with a laptop computer or even the BlackBerry. I think a lot of it I think coming in the future will be more with your cellular phone. I think that information is going to come to you on your phone. Everybody's got a phone. You're going to be able to buy things with your phone. That's where I see it going. I really think the cellular phone is going to be the issue that we're all going to have to deal with eventually.
Any thoughts on satellite radio?
I don't think they're a concern. I just don't see it. You know, they've got problems. There's two of them. Are they going to have to merge? I think they're going to have to. I think it's the only way they can survive. But do I see a major impact from the satellite rape? Nah, I don't think so. I don't think it's an issue.
I had a good question for you, and it just slipped my mind.
That happens to me all the time.
Well, it'll come back to me. You know, it's a lot of folks made the trek up to Moberly, watched you and your father tell them everything. You guys never made a secret of it because you knew that most folks wouldn't go to the trouble or to do it. So now you've sold your very successful stations to another company. Can you even speak to whether or not they will follow some of the same philosophies that have made those stations valuable enough for them to buy? Will they try to do something different? Can you talk about that?
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, we really haven't gotten into that kind of deal with them.
So you're not going to be staying on in any capacity?
No, I'm not.
You know, one of the first times I can remember meeting you, I was at KBOA.
Right.
You guys hadn't bought the station yet, but you came down, and I believe you were working with the computers at the time.
Yeah,
and
it was.
You installed a huge Burroughs computer to automate our traffic stuff because you guys were like way out on the front edge of that. And this thing was the size of a couple of big office desks. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Do indeed.
And now you can put that same computing power in your pocket.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, heck, I remember when the first calculators came out, too, you know, little pocket hand calculators and things. And, you know, that was a big deal then, but, you know, it's the size of all this stuff is going to change, and it's all going to get smaller.
Talk about change. I thought of the question I wanted to ask you. Google Radio, they bought the DMARC guys, and now they're starting to, for folks who don't follow all this, we won't get into it, but I assume that you do. The idea of Google being able to sell ads and to sell inventory on radio stations, have you looked at that? Do you have some thoughts on that?
I haven't looked at it that close. I know we're looking and doing some of that to some extent at Farmington, but I've never done it here in Moberly. But I don't know. I guess I look at them as they're kind of like the national rep anymore. And the old national reps that we used to use in the old days, that maybe that's kind of what these guys are going to do. They're going to go out and they're going to sell some inventory for you, and you're going to take a little money, and you know, everything usually has a tendency to come back around full circle, and maybe that's where we're going with this thing again. It doesn't surprise me they're doing it. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I wish I'd have thought of it.
But if you had some unsold avails in that unlikely event on one of your radio stations, you wouldn't be opposed to, if you could sort of protect the rate, letting somebody like Google or a national rep, if you will, sell those for you.
Well, no. I mean, we all had national reps to do that stuff anyway.
Can you put on your magic glasses and look into the future, oh, 3 or 4 or 5 years, and tell us what small and medium market radio is going to look like?
I think small medium market radio will probably look about the same 5 years from now. 10 years from now, I'm not so sure, but I think 5 years from now, I think it'll be about the same. I don't see a major change coming unless the commission would force us to go to digital. And I think that's going to be a big thing, because you're looking at a major expense for a lot of these radio stations. You know, the medium market guys can afford to do it. Excuse me. And some of the small market guys too can, but there's a lot of small market guys out here that can't afford to switch to digital, and I don't know what's going to happen to those guys. They're either going to have to, you know, sell their soul to the devil to get the money to switch, or they're going to have to go out of business.
Where will we find you in coming weeks and months?
I don't know. I don't know what I want to do yet. I haven't figured out what I want to do. You know, I always said
You're too young to retire.
Well, I'm 53 now, but I always said one of these days when I grow up, I'll figure out what I want to do. I guess I'm to that point now where I'm getting kind of grown up, and I'm going to have to figure out what I want to do. I don't know yet.
Well, when you figure it out, will you give me a shout so I can do a follow-up interview with you?
Sure. I mean, I think there's money to be made for radio stations on the Internet. We've done a few things and kind of looked at it. We've dabbled at it a little bit off and on, just playing around. But, you know, I don't know. I think there's some money to be made out here in some issues. And I don't know. I may do some consulting work for certain broadcasters if they want. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of other there's a lot of other things out there to do.
I assume the reason you had decided to go ahead and sell your stations now was that you had gotten every last dollar that there was to be out of those markets.
No, I don't think so. You know, I mean, I could stay in the business, and you know, and over the next 10 years probably pull in as much money as what I'm going to sell the radio stations for, but.
And you didn't tell me. How much was that?
What, that I sold? I sold them for $30 million. I mean, that's almost $31 million. I can pull out $3 million a year over the next 10 years, but, you know, I'm not sure what I would have to sell at that time 10 years from now. And I'm not sure that I want to go through the digital revolution right now.
Well, you were part of kind of an interesting revolution, you and your father and the folks that have worked with you all these years, so it's not going to be the same radio without you.
Well, I mean, you know, like I say, we're still going to be around, and I'm going to keep my ears to the ground. As a matter of fact, I've given some thought to taking our philosophy of the way we operate a small market station and take it into a large market operation and see if we can make it fly. I think we can. I think we could take the way we operate any of our small market stations and go into, you know, Kansas City, St. Louis, wherever, and make a lot of money.
Ooh, now that would be fun to watch.
Well, and we, you know, it's been thought, you know, we thought about it a lot. It works in the most minimal of markets. It works in the medium markets. Why would it not work in a large market? I mean, to some extent, Camo X did a lot of that over the years. I think they've kind of gone a different route than the way they used to. I mean, it's not like the Highland days anymore, but I'm not so sure that you couldn't do it.
Well, would you send me
As a matter of fact, I'm seeing a lot of TV guys and some guys in TV and even some of the large markets starting to do some of the stuff that we've always done as small market broadcasters for a long time. I think they're figuring out that that's how they have to make the money.
When you air that first Schnucks commercial that's price an item on a great big city radio station, would you send me an air check?
Okay? You bet. I'd be happy to.
Well, hey, thanks again. I appreciate this. And I'll send you an email as soon as I get this online.
That's cool.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. See you, Steve. Bye.